Verse 9. How do you go from there? Verse 9 says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And I can remember being in school as a child, and I can remember even in school, Michael, going through all these historical world leaders, the great ones and the small ones, the not so greats and the greats, and we all heard the news here recently that, and I don't know what's true and what's not true, okay? I mean, when you listen to the news, you don't know what's true and what's not true. I just go on what you hear sometimes, and sometimes I don't go on that. I just don't go on nothing. But, you know, they said that Obama had moved that little statue, that little head statue of Winston Churchill. And I wouldn't care if he removed the statue of Winston Churchill or not. If I don't want his head in my office, I'm not going to have his head in my office. If I want to take his little statue out, I will. But whatever, you know, they cried about it. And, you know, they said he took it out. And then here comes some other little liar or liberal or whatever. Maybe it's true. I don't know. They said, well, Donald Trump took out Martin Luther King's little, you know, fat-headed statue. Just whatever, you know. You know what? I seen some snapshots the other day of President Trump. And I don't mean to bring so much of that into church, but it just fits. But I seen some snapshots of him and that prime minister over there in England. What's her name? Miss May? Is that her name?
Theresa May.
And they had, you know, Winston Churchill's little statue between them, and they were taking their photos, and you could see some of the world leaders, like George Washington's picture on the wall. Can I be honest with you? I wouldn't give a flip if they took every stinking one of them out of the Oval Office. I wouldn't care if they took Lincoln's picture out, and I wouldn't care if they took Martin Luther King's little statue out. It would do me just fine, Eric, if I could see those snapshots. You remember back in the day that Canadian made all the little generic, cheap Bible verses and took your little frames, wrapped it, and sold it to all the so-called Christians across America. And all of us Christian folks had them Bible verses plastered black and white all over the walls of our dining rooms and down the hall and in our living room. That's a beautiful thing. Boy, I look back, Mama Jim Lord, and that guy was out of Canada that made all them and had them King James Bible verses. Just them little old plaque things or picture things, and had that little cheap, ugly frame around it, and had thousands upon thousands of those things shipped out across our land, and moms and dads all over. For God so loved the world, for by grace are you saved. I can remember the ones hanging around in our house as a little kid. It would suit me just fine, Miss Holly. All I'm trying to say, if you was to take them Bible verses and just plaster the walls of that Oval Office in King James Bible verse, huh? It'd be fine with me if they removed all them world leaders and all them idols off their walls and they started just plastering King James Bible verses. And man, the President of the United States sat there at the desk of his Oval Office and governed this land by those verses just plastered off. That'd be just fine with me. It'd suit me fine. Huh? Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. I'm telling you, church, greater than Martin Luther King and greater than Winston Churchill and greater than George Washington and greater than Abraham Lincoln is this man Jesus. Amen. And I'm telling you, boy, they call such rigmarole over just some little man or the other. But I'm telling you, church, it would do me fine. It would be fine with God if they removed every little idol out of Washington, D.C. and replaced it with this man, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's get back to him. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. I'm just saying that Christ has been given a name which is above every name. There really is something about his name. I know it might be just a cliche to most people, but there really is something about his name. So what is it about his name? Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other,
For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Boy, there's something about that name. If you're going to be saved, it's going to come through the name of Jesus. Amen? Sure. I want you to watch this. I mean, I just think about stuff like this. I know it might be simple, but I want you to listen to me for a second. Hey, Isaiah, I want you to shout for me a little bit. I want you to listen. Bob. Bill. John. Tom. Mark. Terry. Jesus. Is this something special, huh?
Yes.
I like Tom. Tom's fine. Mike's fine. Mark's fine. Son, there's something special about Jesus. Jesus. You throw Jesus in the mix of that, and it just kind of throws a different ring to everything. Listen. Did you hear it? Let me give you some good names. Steve. Stephen. John David. Michael. Isaiah. That's a good one. Eric. That's good. Look, Benji back there. Benjamin. Nathan. That's good. Zach. That's good. Jesus. What about Miss Holly? Tanya. Caitlin. Sarabella. Good names. Hannah. Barbara. Amber. Gracie. What's so funny? I'm not kidding you, Amber. So help me God. She's my little gal. I love her. I was thinking about it last night, Zach. I was thinking about that name, Jesus. And I got over to your wife and couldn't remember her name to save my life. I couldn't remember my daughter-in-law's name. I said, boy, I'm smart, ain't I? I forgot her name. I was going, what's them names? I was going through these names and, boy, I tell you, woo! You talking about ankle cracking good? You talking about ankle cracking good? It made my ankles crack. Somebody says, there's old Steph. Son, I'm telling you, she come around the corner of that school wall. My ankles began to crack. Ma, there she was, Steph. Like it. That was my game. That's all the game. Girl, you make my ankles crack.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you argue with a preacher. Don't be like your mama. Them some pretty good names. But I'll just be honest with you, there's one a little more special than that.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. Amen. All joking aside, there's something special about that name. Mr. Stephanie, there's a bunch of Davids in the world. There's a bunch of Stephanies. Yes. But there ain't but one Jesus. Ain't but one Jesus. You know what, Steve? When I was in school, they had this old black boy, and I still don't know his name. I liked him a whole lot because he was crazy as a best bug. But you know what they called him, Michael? They called him Black Jesus. That just never did set well because there's something special about that name. Them black people, they might call them, they might name their kid Jesus or Moses or whatever. They don't know what they might do. And I was, whatever. They just something special about Jesus. Where's that songbook at? Look at page 63 in your songbook. I can't read them all. There's so many in here. We'll just take this one. You can start at page 63 and just go all around it. Well, my goodness, I went to 65, and guess what page 65 is? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Page 63 says, take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a child, as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. That's a blessing, ain't it? Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. at the name of Jesus, bowing, falling prostrate at his feet. King of kings in heavens, King of king in heavens, we'll crown him when our journey, we'll crown him when our journey is complete. That's a blessing, ain't it? I mean, these words, these songs all around. Let's see, what's page 58? Jesus, the very thought of thee. Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Amen. There's something special about him. There's a lot of good ones in there. Look, verse 10 now. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Folks, I like to think about these things sometimes. I just do. I like to think about it. I've seen it in my mind's eye many, many times. I thought about bowing my knee before him, Zach. What a day that's going to be. This whole world's been deceived by the devil, and the devil seems to be having his heyday right now, just running to and fro. And no doubt we've seen in the last year how divided our country really is. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. The problem with America is not liberals and conservatives. The problem with America is sin. The problem with America is not with black skin or white skin or Mexican skin. But the problem is with sin. The problem ain't with unity and division. The problem is with the devil causing discord among us. That's right. And we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what our problem really is. We've got a problem. We've got a country that's greatly divided. And that's purely the work of Satan himself. Right. Work of Satan. I'll be honest with you, church. I'm just honest with you. I can remember Zach doing a job. And the job, Michael, it got too big for me. And the homeowner said, we'll just hire some Mexicans to do it. My first instinct was, I don't want them Mexicans over here taking this work. And then I went, well, you know, whatever. I'll take some help. I don't care if it's red, yellow, black, or white. I just need some help. And they got some Mexicans, a framing crew of Mexicans over there. And trust me, there's some Mexican framing crews that can work circles, buddy, around some of us. I mean, they can work. Some of them can work. But much to my pleasure, they brought in a crew over there that didn't measure nothing. They just started throwing up 2x4s, and they didn't lay them out 16-inch on center. They didn't lay them out 24-inch on center. They just put 2x4s wherever they wanted to put a 2x4 to build these walls. And when they started putting plywood up, they started having to rip and cut and patch and just make things fit. And it was an absolute nightmare, and that homeowner just went plumb crazy. And I was tickled. Like, yeah, hire them. Bring them on in over here. I don't even use a tape measure, buddy. But when my heart's right with God, I have a burden for them. I care about them. I want to see them get saved. You know Miss McKay, my old piano player down there in Mississippi? She was about 195 years old. And she was sent over here. She is an old ex-Pentecostal. I say ex-Pentecostal. She went to a Baptist church all her life, but she looked like she fit the role. She had that dress that drugged the ground. She had that bun up in her hair, and she wore no makeup. She took no medicine, wouldn't take medicine. Said if God wouldn't heal her, she'd just die. Gangrene set in on her. She had infection. She had gangrene set in, man. She was stuck. She denied doctors, denied me, said, God's going to heal me. God healed the old woman. You can argue all you want to. The old woman, I think she's still alive, 197 now. Forgot again what I was talking about, Miss McKay. I don't know about this diet stuff, Miss Dick. I'm starting to lose my mind. I started eating healthy and I can't remember nothing. What's your name? Tammy? It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Oh, Miss McKay. She's over there and give her life on that mission field, Steve, over in Mexico. I was talking about Mexicans. She's talking about Mexicans over there, and she gave her life on the missionary field. Her and her husband was missionaries to the Mexicans. And Two things she told me I never forgot. Number one, she said her husband died and he was her world. She said, man, he meant the world to me. But she said that God said he would be a greater husband to me than my husband ever dreamed of being. She said, Brother David, I'm here to tell you, God has been a better husband to me than my husband ever was. She said, he's been more real to me as a husband than my husband ever was. He took my husband's place. She laid that thing out, man, it was good. It was godly. And then she said this, she said, I'm going to tell you something about them Mexicans. She said, when they get saved, she said they give 95% to the church and they live off of 5%. She said, they're not like Americans. She said, you can't hardly get 10% out of them. She said, you don't even have, it's just what they do. They get saved, they give 95% of everything they have to the church. And they operate off of 5%. Wow. She said, every one of them that I ever seen come to know Jesus, that's how they lived. She said, man, I tell you, I look at them and I look at them mamas and they keep their little babies so clean and neat and take such good. Boy, I'll tell you what, some of them. Some of them still got a little something about them. Some of them don't. Like maybe some of them's been Americanized. But I'll tell you one thing, boy. I sure want to see them know the Lord, huh? Wouldn't it be something to have two or three of them around here and reaching out there in their little community and, you know, two or three of them in here and they can go back home and reach the other 15 in their house? I said there'd be two or three of them in here and they'd go back home and reach the other 15 in their house, in their trailer. That'd be a blessing. That'd be a blessing. All right. Huh?
In their car.
Yeah. Verse 10. Just every knee's going to bow. Church, I've done that for 29 years now. Michael, I hadn't been a good Christian. I sometimes get up here and I start sounding like I've been a real good Christian. My wife's sitting right over there. All you need is about 5 minutes with her and you'll find out I ain't been a real good Christian. I just said that because when God saved me, I told you last week when I come out in woods, it was different. I changed. And then the next morning after I got saved, there was a desire in my heart to live for God. I wanted to live for Him. And for 29 years now, I've been bowing my knee before a holy God. I'm going to promise you something. When I get to heaven, it's not going to be a hard thing for me to do to bow down before
Him. Oh, Lord. I look forward. I may not look forward to some of the things He might uncover in my life, but I promise you one thing, church. I look so forward after all these years of trying to bow down to Him, of being able to get up there face to face and bow down before Him and letting my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That won't be no problem for me. Can I tell you what's going to almost be as good as that? When we look over there and see that old devil, old slew foot, that old forked tongue one that's given us such a fit, Miss Stephanie. We look over there and we watch Lucifer himself come before the throne of Jesus Christ. And that sorry rascal has to take and bow a knee before God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a day, you hear me? I'm talking about, listen friend, you know all the hell he's caused in your life? All the trouble, all the turmoil, all the temptation. You know all that junk he's brought? It's going to be a blessed day when we're sitting up there and they snatch him up there and throw him down at the feet. And he bows down before Jesus Christ and looks up and says, Jesus Christ is Lord. What a day that'll be, buddy. It's going to be good. I'm telling you, it'll be a blessing. You see, he don't have to do that.
Amen.
Sir, verse 11, 12. I mean, we get to thinking about some of our family, some of our neighbors, some of the people that we know. I'm telling you, the devil's going to bow down before him. Verse 11 says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Zach tells us in here about honoring your parents. and obeying your parents. Eric, he kind of draws this picture. Obeying your parents is what you do when you're in front of them, when you're in their home, when you're in their presence, and they tell you to take the trash out, or they tell you don't do this, or don't do, and you obey your parents. But when you get behind their back, and when you get out of their house, and you get out there on your own, and you continue to do the right things, that is an honor to your mom and dad. He mentions that God's men are worthy of double honor. This is what Paul is dealing with here. Paul's trying to tell us that we do this in his absence as much as in his presence. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to do that with Jesus Christ. We're to honor the Word of God no matter where we're at in our life, no matter what we're doing, no matter who's around, no matter what's going on. We need to honor the Word of God. Just obey it and live it. When we do what we do for people, it makes our walk a bit too wishy-washy. But when we do it for Jesus Christ, it helps us keep the right relationship for Jesus. How many of y'all have seen that kind of junk? When people's trying to impress other people. When they're doing what they're doing because other people's are watching. And man said right here, don't worry about people watching. Do it when ain't nobody's watching. It's good. I tell you, when we learn how to do it for Jesus Christ, church, it makes all the difference in the world. Then the end of verse 12 tells us how to keep a right relationship with Jesus. The end of verse 12. The end of verse 12 says this. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Look with me real quick in Isaiah 66. Close this up. Isaiah 66. It's done got so warm and everybody's got so full. How many of you like to take a nap? I didn't even have to look up. I could feel the witness. I could just feel the witness that time. Verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 66 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is it? And where is the place of my rest? Listen to what he said. For all those things hath mine hand made. You ain't done nothing. So what? For all my and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Listen, not to the man that's, oh Lord, I built you a big old house. Look at what I've done for you. Look at what I've done. Look at who Jesus said I'm going to look to. I look even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembleth at my word. Isn't that a blessing? You want God to look at you. You want God to notice you. You want God to pay you some attention. You better learn how to tremble at his word. That's a good piece of advice. He said, I will look unto even to him that is poor. Eric. We're starting to feel some of that. Thank God, he said, to the poor. Man needs a job, ladies and gentlemen. He said, preacher, I need a job and it ain't for the money. I'm going to tell you what, a man needs to work. A man just needs to work. A man, hey, Eric, I'm going to say this, and you probably, you know, I ain't got to say that. Everybody knows he's smarter than me. A man don't work. A man, if he ain't real careful, he can sign off and start getting depressed. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons for people being depressed is sorry. I've looked at a lot of depressed people, and it's because they sit on their high end all the time. And my solution is get your tail up and go rake the yard. Go, it'll help you start feeling a little bit of manhood, and that depression just kind of helps you. Go out there and clean out the yard. Go do something. Get up, go. Sit around all day. Me, I've seen them. I'm not blowing out nobody here. I'm just telling you. I've seen men sit around and not work and go off into depression. You should. You're to be depressed if you don't work. Right. And so let's pray. Make that a matter of prayer. Man's wanting to work. Besides that, he needs an income.
And yeah, so y'all make that a matter of prayer. But ain't you glad that Jesus is interested in those of a contrite spirit, huh? Boy, where's that at in America? God said all these fancy things that people attempt to do ain't impressing him. But he looks on who is poor. He's looking on those that are contrite. He's looking on those that tremble at his word. Y'all remember the conversation I had with a man about trembling? When did that poor soul tremble at the word of God? Tremble! When did that boy, they out there, Miss Hannah, with them little old kids in the ghetto, and they cornering them, and they pushing prayers down their throat, and making them repeat after them, and they got some little freak, seems like a weirdo, around the corner with his phone, taking pictures of this black kid on his bicycle, popping a wheelie and praying a prayer. Post that junk going, 19 got saved today. Kid out there on a bicycle, and I see, man, when did he tremble at the law that he spurned? When did he do that? I didn't know we was winning souls to songbooks now. What you going to do with Isaiah 66 verse 2 when God said, I'm not even looking if he's not trembling at my word? He better tremble, friend. Amen. It ain't about a song, it's about the word of God. Learn how to tremble. All these old fancy things people's doing. All these big numbers people's are putting up. God said, I'm not interested in that. Just show me somebody that's contrite. Show me some contrition. Show me somebody that's trembling. Show me that. I'll look. I'll take time for that. You know what contrite is? We've got all these definitions. Contrite ain't real deep. I have to say this stuff to constantly remind us, and maybe a kid or a child will get it for the first time in their life. But it's just crushed or broken. Where's the crushed or broken at? Where's those that see where they stand with God and are absolutely crushed over the law that they spurn? Where's that at? Where's those that are broken over the laws that they've spurned? Let me throw this out there to you. This ain't nothing but just a commercial break. Michael, I've often thought about Jews. I know several of them. And they talk, and they always want to make out like, listen, they always want to make out like they love the Old Testament. They just ain't hooked up with this thing about Jesus just yet, huh? But they love, boy, they're all into that New Testament. Let me tell you something. This is what we said the other day in John 5, 46 and 47. Jesus said, if you believe Moses, first of all, they don't even believe the Old Testament. They don't even believe the Old Testament. They don't, but that's a lie, friend. Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you believe me. I'm going to tell you why they don't believe in Jesus, because they don't believe in that book of the law either. They don't believe in nothing Moses said. That's right. They get to believe in Moses, they'll start believing Jesus. It's that simple. It ain't that they're hung up over there in the Old Testament. They don't even believe that, ladies and gentlemen. Let them fool you. Don't let that stuff fool you. That's a commercial, but this crushed in brokenness, one who is crushed and broken in spirit by sin, God said, I'll look on that person. A person that knows how to come underneath that brokenness for the sin that they've committed, I'll look upon that person. Not until. Contrite is coming to the place where God, through his word, has reproved you of your sin and showed you and has bruised your heart and crushed your spirit, and that sorrow kicks in and you know exactly what you need. You need Jesus. Right. You know what we're doing, Steve? What did Sammy Allen say, Zach? What has he said, Mama? For 40 years. We've known Sammy for 40 years. What was it that William Booth said? Regeneration without repentance. He said that our century is going to say it. What's he saying?
He says regeneration without repentance, religion without the Holy Ghost. That's such a shame.
Okay, that's fine. I want to get to this anyway. And I agree with him. If you can remember, that's fine. But some of y'all probably can remember him rattling that off. But how about this, Zach? How about conversion without contrition? And he says conversion without conviction. That's one of the things he says, you remember? Well, conversion without conviction. How about conversion without contrition? How about people being crushed and bruised underneath the sin that they've committed against God? That's one of the things I see that's missing. Just that brokenness. That bruised. That hurt. That sorrow. God, I've hurt you. I want you to hear me and hear me well. I was sitting there on the couch. I was not sitting there with Carl Hatch. I know Carl Hatch. I knew Carl Hatch. I rubbed shoulders with Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch was supposed to be one of the greatest soul winners. I'm going to do this. Don't miss it. He was supposed to be one of the greatest soul winners that ever lived. Millions of people. Millions. Jack Howells learned from Carl Hatch. A lot of these big shots learned from Carl Hatch. He had tactics, friend. I'm telling you, Carl Hatch had tactics that sinners could not walk away from. And he would take a book. He had tactics, Miss Holly. We had him at Cinnamon Street Baptist Church teaching us how to soul win. And he dealt with multitudes. He dealt with large. I'm talking about, friend, he soul win to Elvis Presley. And he was the 14th person I met that won Elvis, by the way. 14 of them won Elvis Presley. God, he still died in his sin and went to hell. We have like that and die and go to heaven. Man, get saved. He changes, friend. He started out singing gospel music, died singing rock and roll. He should have got saved. He went back to gospel. Amen. Yeah. Sitting there doing dope, straining his guts out and died. Marty Robbins. Carl Hatch won Marty Robbins to God. Y'all probably don't know him. Grandma knows it good well who he is. Old singer back in the day. Yeah. Tom Selleck. Old Magnum P.I. He won him to God. Now, I don't know if you know this, but people like he were mentioning, they all did have a little cog in them. Even Magnum's got some differences about him. But he has here recently jumped on that little show. What is that, Friends? And had a bed scene with one of them girls. But Carl Hatch went and got it. Steve, all I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to tear down Carl Hatch. I'm just telling you kind of what caliber of a soul winner he was. He come through our church down there, and our pastor wanted us, I think he just wanted to increase the numbers, and I think he wanted to increase the income. And I sit down there in the living room with a man, a senior preacher, as a young preacher, on the couch. And we were soul winning. I was sitting there listening. This senior man that I was with was witnessing to this guy that he knew. And this guy was sitting there drinking beer as he was witnessing to him. And Eric, this is what the man said. He said, I just don't want to get saved because I'll have to quit drinking my beer. And that senior pastor sat there and looked at him and said, sir, no, you don't. I'm just a young preacher sitting there. That thing just about knocked me off the couch. And I went, what? He said, sir, all you've got to do is believe. Jesus will save you. Ladies and gentlemen, he got that man with that beer in his hand, and he prayed a prayer and turned him into a twofold child of hell. We got up and walked out of that place, and never one time did that man walk in our church. Not one time.
You say, what are you talking about?
No contrition. No contrition. The man said, I want to hold on to my sin. That guy said, you can't hold on to your sin. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get saved holding on to sin. You'll die and go to hell holding on to sin. I don't care if God's convicted you of bubble gum. If bubble gum's the sin God's put his finger on, you'll die and go to hell with your hubba bubba in your mouth. You hear me? I'm just telling you. And if God convicts you of bubble gum, bring it to me. He ain't convicting me of it. I'll chew it for you with my three teeth. Back to Philippians chapter 2. We got to hurry, y'all. You're killing me. John's sitting over at the hospital, at the airport. And Miss Stephanie, she's got bathroom issues, and we need to go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this: Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is working out your own salvation here? What's he talking about working out your own salvation? It's not going where you used to go. It's not doing, it's a completely different lifestyle now. Work out your own salvation. Not thinking like you used to think. Not talking like you used to talk. Not walking like you used to walk. Not going to the same places you used to go. Hey, man, what is this working out your own salvation? Walking in the Word. Obeying God's Word. Having the mind of Christ. That's what it's all about. Working it out now. Let everybody see you working out. They ain't going to come here. Go out there and let your light shine. Work your salvation out now. How do you do this? How do you walk in the Word? By fear and trembling. Is that what he said? Listen to what he said. He said, but now much more in my absence work out your own salvation. How? How? With fear and trembling. It's good. When God saw... Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember when the Word... In the Word of God, where Josiah started getting off track with God. Old King Josiah started getting away from God and leading the people away from God. And the Word of the Lord came to Josiah. And Josiah began to see the error of his way. And this is what Josiah rose up and said. He said, oh my goodness, folks, we are in trouble with God. I'm telling you something, Mr. Stephanie. He began to fear and tremble for the judgment of God Almighty. God said, hey, Josiah, I'm fixing to put the monkey on y'all. Josiah got fearful, buddy. He began to tremble. You know what God did? God said, Josiah, because you have feared me and obeyed me and you trembled at my word, I'm going to pass by thee. I'm not going to let the judgment fall on you. But all those that didn't take heed, all those that didn't fear, all those that didn't tremble, it's going to fall on the judgment of God. Read the story. It's good. Good story. God saw his contrition. He told Josiah they would withhold his judgment from him. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. I'm only going down to verse 16. And then all of them I ain't going to expound. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. That's a good verse. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I mean, man, we ought to celebrate my birthday and nobody ever ought to complain. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Gotta hurry, gotta hurry, gotta hurry. Look at Job 33, one of my favorite ones. Isaiah. I need you to shout for me, boy. That's good. That's better than nothing. I'll take it. The holy grunt. Or grunt. Job 33, verse 26. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men. My God. And if any say, listen, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. Which one of us can't say that? Let me ask you a question. I wrote a little note down beside my chair where I was reading, Michael. I wrote a little note down on the envelope to remind me what you got to show for your sin. What you got to show for it. Boy, I'd like to ask the world what you got to show for your sin. Huh? What you got to show for that rebellion? What you got to show for that backslidden condition, that godless condition? What you got to show for all that? Huh? What you got to show for that drunkenness? What you got to show for that fornication? What you got to show for that adultery? I promise you one thing, ladies and gentlemen, it's not good. What you got to show for it? We can all say that I've sinned and perverted that which was right. And it profited me not. He said he will deliver his soul from going into the pit. God said, I'll do that. If that man will come to that place, I'll deliver his soul from going into the pit. And his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about perverting that which is right. We all know that this world has taken the word of God and they've so perverted it that it's almost unrecognizable anymore. Do you know what, and we're getting down there to it, but do you know what they call the Bible? Do you know what the world calls the Bible? They call it hate literature. Is that so? Or am I just being negative? When you take a stand against sin, what do they call you? They call you a hater. You take a stand against same-sex marriage, they say you're a hater. You say, what is that? That's perverting what's right. Because righteousness is right, and God's way is right, and this book is right. And when you and I take a stand on what the Bible says, and you and I practice what the Bible says, and we believe what the Bible says, this whole world calls us a bunch of haters. Hate, 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 because we don't condone this, and we don't agree with that, and we don't go along with this, and we don't sugarcoat that. It's hate, hate, hate. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. They've perverted what was right. Can I be honest with you? I just about hate the word abortion, Michael. I just about hate it. Because here's what your Bible calls. Here's what God said. God said it was murder. You know what the root of murder is? It ain't those that's perverted what was right. It's hate. Hate. People that literally pervert that which was right, they're the haters. Those that was marching up and down the streets and dressing their bodies up like parts of the human anatomy, for God in heaven's sakes, for all them little kids and everybody across the world to get a picture of. Are you kidding me? Filthy, vulgar, nasty reprobates. It's unbelievable. I mean, they should lock them people up for being so vile and wretched on the streets in public. But that's right, son. They have rights to march down the streets and they have rights to kill them babies. And it's amazing at what they do. Miss Holly, sometimes them heads are so big that they can't get them heads out with the normal procedure. So they inject them with a solution. They bust that head up and they can take it out in pieces. Right. It's amazing how they can rip them out piece by piece by piece. March down the streets and say, we have a right. You know what they're doing? They're perverting what is right. And then a few folks stand up and march for the right to life, and the people mock them and make fun of them and ridicule them and say, there's no man in a suit that has a right to tell me, no sir, a man in a suit may not have a right, but there's a God in heaven that has every right in this world. Amen. Amen to God. It ain't about what no man said anyway. It's about what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And God said, children are a heritage of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to have a quiver full, thank God. Amen. Sir, sit and kill them Wonder why America's trillions of dollars in debt. You stop killing all the babies and let those children that's been murdered, those millions and 60-what million babies that's been murdered, start getting jobs and paying taxes. Maybe America wouldn't be in such a financial bind. God's not blessing this country, ladies and gentlemen, because we've perverted what's right. It'll not even be a question. We're not even entertaining the thought, Eric. What can a woman do? What can a woman not do? She forfeited that right, ladies and gentlemen, when she laid down her back. Forfeited that right. That baby's got all the right in the world to life. That's right. God's the one that gives life. It's not our job to take it. God help us. People ain't in the nut house today, ladies and gentlemen, because God's good. People are not committing suicide every day in this world, in every city, in every town, in every state, Miss Tammy. They're not committing suicide because God's good. Walgreens and CVS ain't blowing out their walls on every stinking corner across America. Drug sales are soaring higher than they've ever sold, dear God, because God's good. This stuff's going on because we've perverted what was right. We've perverted what was right. I'm not completely against medicine. I thank God sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, that God gives us some doctors and gives us some people that can help us sometimes. If something's wrong, maybe have we live a normal life if it's what it takes. But I'll be honest with you, most of this junk ain't nothing but perverting what was right. My people, which were called by my name, I believe it, Zach. I believe we could see the doctors go out of business and Walgreens close the doors. If God's people would get right with God, I believe things would change in America. You know what abortion sounds like, Miss Holly? It sounds like alcoholic. God said he's a drunk. He's a drunkard. I don't like to be called a drunkard. People don't like to be called a murderer. So we have to put them fancy little words on it. People doing these things because they've rejected the goodness of God and perverted that which was right. Listen here. We've taken God out of schools and we've talked about it. God's been left out of our homes. We've taken him out of schools and we've removed discipline from our homes and we've replaced it. Listen, we've replaced discipline and God in our average home with ADD and a lack of discipline. Amen. A lack of discipline has produced ADD all over this country. Take God out of the home, take God out of the school, and the school fills up with Redmond. Isn't it amazing? I'm probably the dumbest person in this congregation, and I've got some of this stuff figured out. These kids right here love me. They just do. Y'all give up on me. At least the kids love me. After all the stuff I say, Miss Hannah, I remember being a kid. We went to that Pentecostal church and all them women sitting in there with them hickory switches. I hated that place. I said, man, I never want to come. They was beating their youngest. I thought they just had my butt stomping in their Bible. Everybody in there had a switch and they didn't take their kid out. They beat them right there. And I went, I hate this place. I get enough whippings. He don't need encouraging on how to beat me. I mean, everybody was doing it. Let's get in. Oh, come here, Dave. Oh, back up. Can I tell you what took care of my ADD? I had it. I couldn't pay attention to save my life, so I couldn't. Amen. Mom said, I'll put you on Valium. They didn't have Ritalin. Put you on Valium. You hyper. There was a thing called an ROD that handled about every bit of my ADD. Amen.
Amen.
And if that ROD would get back where it's supposed to be, then we could tell the ADD move aside. Because I'm honest with you, most of it ain't nothing but a discipline problem. Sit around, throw a kid in front of a computer screen, in front of a TV, in front of a telephone, and let them sit there with that thing changing. Pop, 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 changing constantly. Get down there to school and the teacher ain't constantly entertaining them. And pop, 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 and they have to stop and focus and zero in. And they can't because they've never been trained. No discipline, no structure, no God.
My kids all thought I was trying to turn them into fags. I took one Christmas one year and got every one of them a journal. I thought, oh, you trying to make fags out? Nope. Just trying to take your little hyper button, set you down, and make you focus on your day now. You're not going to think about Xbox. You're not going to think about wild world of sports. You're not going to think about girls. You're going to sit here and think about your day, and you're going to pin down now and have to focus for a little while right here in your bedroom on how your day went. And just pull everything together right here. Focus. Helps you with that ADD and stuff. Have to sit down and write stuff because you got to think. Good. It's good. Now, Eric, I say all that stuff in here, and I just got a bandwagon of whipping a youngin. If you watch, it won't be 10 minutes after church. Them youngins will be up in my arms. Hey, they love me to death, man. It's amazing. I was thinking about this stuff, Zach, and if I was them kids, I'd run from me, but they all run to me. It might be because I got them smarties, Miss Stephanie. And popsicles. What do we do? What do we do, preacher, with all this stuff? And I do believe people's got problems. But I found this to be true, Eric. Listen, I want you moms to listen to me for a second. And there's a couple of you in here that you've been through it. You know what I'm talking about. Eric, I believe a lot of these mamas want their kids to be on Adderall. Because mom can take it and lose weight. They like putting their kids on Ritalin, Zach, because I've seen moms peddle Ritalin to some overweight people to help them lose weight. They get money. Take my kid down there and get them some Ritalin. See, it's like speed for a grown-up. Calms that kid down. They do that grown-up. And these moms are stringing out their little kids on this stuff and running down there and getting about handfuls, ladies and gentlemen, turning around and distributing and selling and making money. While they're destroying their little children. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I know for a fact what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. It's a crying out loud shame. Perverting that which is right. Perverting that which is right. Instead, you can cry out against it and they'll call you every name in the book. Huh? They'll call you a racist. They'll call you a hater. They'll call you a bigot. They'll call you a chauvinist. They'll call you jealous. They'll call you every name under the sun because they are bound and determined to pervert that which is right. Never will you get to God in that fashion. God said, I won't even look at you. God said, I won't even pay you attention. God said, if you will not come to the place and admit that you've sinned and perverted that which is right, we'll not even look in your direction. Tough. What do we do? I'm done. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom, this is what you do, you shine as lights in the world. You just keep shining, amen. You keep shining, amen. You just keep letting your light shine. If you ain't got a light, thank God, get over there in the mind of Christ and get you some light. How do you do that, preacher? How do I do this? How do I have the mind of Christ? How do I not pervert that which was right? How do I walk in fellowship with God? How do I let my light shine? Holding forth the word of life. Amen. Holding forth. Thank God, church, stand on it. Ladies and gentlemen, stand on it. Practice it. Live it. Believe it. Preach it. Preach it some more. They'll hate you. Preach it some more. Somebody said something the other day. I know a guy that's got three sons, Eric, and all three of them are police officers in West Virginia. State troopers. And he said, my children have been cussed out. They've been spit on. They've had rocks thrown at them. They've had guns shot at them. And he went down the line. I said, it sounds like your sons might have been preaching on the streets in the Bible Belt. Because when they're not loaded up a water gun with that sodomite urine and squirt you as they pass by, sure they will for preaching the gospel on the street, Eric. They'll go piss in a water gun and shoot you in the face with it when they pass by. Because you're standing there preaching against their sin. Not out of hate, out of love,
Man, trying to let the light of God shine. I'm telling you, let the law of God do its work in their heart and life. I'm telling you, people will swerve their cars at you. They'll cuss you. They'll threaten you with your life. And they'll throw things at you. I mean, even some church people will come by and make fun. You don't believe it? Get you a good godly Bible verse today. Go stand on your street corner down there in your little town. Go stand down there in Shelby today. That's right. Old brother Carlos, right down there in Florida, old black brother, is standing on that street corner, man, and holding them Bible verses and preaching. I mean, he got called every nigger under the sun. You hear me? Nigger, I'll kill you! Boy, I'd come by and say, old brother Carlos, keep standing, glory to God! God's got your back, son. He's your reward. Right. He may not have had everything just right, but thank God he was out on them streets proclaiming the gospel to a lost. Hey, man, he was out there letting his light shine. You hear me? Them Bible verses he is a holding up, friend. There wasn't nothing wrong with them. But America said, we'll not have it. Ladies and gentlemen, you just keep holding forth the word of life. Amen. So, preacher, what's it going to do? It'll give you the mind of Christ. Right? It'll get God's attention on your life. He'll smile on you. Get over there in them minor. I hate saying that. What was it? Zephaniah. I believe over in Zephaniah where the Bible says that the Lord with joy over you was singing. Eric, wouldn't you like to have God look at you and begin to sing what a blessing you are to Him? I believe it's old Zephaniah that said he'd do that. Our joy over thee was singing. Boy, it'd be nice to have God doing that in your life, wouldn't it? Huh? Man, making melody up in heaven over what you're doing. I mean, letting the light shine forth and walking and having the mind to cry. Be a blessing. Let me say it once again, church. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Amen. Saved and lost, but we need to get there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time and the precious word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, dear God, to live every word that we preach and every word, God, that comes out of this book. Help us, dear God, to have the mind of Christ around this place. Help us to think, dear God, sometimes before we speak. And God, help us to love and help us, dear God, to let our light shine. And God, do all the things that you've commanded us to do. I pray, blessed God, that you'd help this congregation grow in grace and knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ, and help us, God, to never pervert that which is right. Oh, blessed God, keep us from that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.